Well, welcome to this week's edition of LBC Connections. And again, no matter where you are or what time it is, as we go through this connections, we are connecting with one another as if we are gathering together as God's people. So my hope, my prayer for us as we go through this season is that as we gather like this, that you will be encouraged, that you will be strengthened, that your faith will sustain you, that you will know the presence and the power of God in your life day by day until we're able to meet again. Over the last couple of weeks, we have started a journey through the series Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. And as we come again this week, we sit at the feet of Jesus to listen to his words to his disciples. The second week, we got an insight into the character of the disciple. Disciples have come before God with hearts and minds which are surrendered to him in total. And as a result of that coming, as a result of that surrender, God has blessed us. We are in receipt of God's rich blessings in our life today, tomorrow, until Christ comes again, and then for all of eternity. Last week, we were introduced to the impact of the disciples' life on the world in which we live. As a result of us coming, as a result of us being blessed, as a result of us being disciples, Christ tells us we have become salt and light for the world. Today, as we look at these few verses, these four verses that were read to us, they are important verses as we then work our way through the rest of chapter 5. These verses lay the foundations for our understanding of that of the entire chapter that's before us. We get an insight into the view of Jesus and the law, and we get an understanding of what it means for the disciples' righteousness. What does it look like? Let's turn our attention to these verses now. It starts off, it's very clear, and yet in some ways, because we start to talk about law, we can skip over this section. But we see in these verses that the law that Jesus is talking about is applicable to the disciples then and for his disciples today. Don't misunderstand, he says, why I come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. See, he has to distill this sense of misunderstanding of both his disciples and the community at large, in particular the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers of the law. If we were to turn back in our Bibles just a few pages, we find that Matthew describes the early part of Jesus' ministry. And reading from chapter 4, verses 23 to 25, we find these words. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, from all the towns around, Jerusalem, from all over Judea and from the east of the Jordan River. You see that in the very early stages of Jesus' ministry, he was being noticed by a large percentage of the community. If you were to take the time and look at Mark's account of the early stages of Jesus' ministry, we find that Jesus is described as one that teaches like no other. He forgives sins. He associates with the unclean and the marginalized people of society. He heals the sick, and he heals on the Sabbath. All of this activity leads the Pharisees to plot with the Herodians to kill him. And this takes place very early in Jesus' ministry. Clearly there was something very different about this man, the way he taught, the way he lived, the way he expressed his faith and the way he reflected his life in and through the guidelines of the Sabbath laws and the laws in general. So in these words in chapter 5, in these words of Jesus, we get a clear message of Jesus' understanding of the law and its implications for us, his disciples. He says, do not misunderstand. There's no misunderstanding here. Jesus says, listen to what I have to say in regard to the law. I did not come to abolish. This sense of abolish means to remove, to annul. He didn't come to remove anything in regard to the law, but what he did come to do was to accomplish all that was set out in the law. We have to remember the law that Jesus is talking about is not just the law that was handed down at Mount Sinai to Moses, the Ten Commandments. The law is shorthand for all of the Old Testament, because he talks about the law and the prophets in this passage. So the law often refers to the first five books, and the prophet picks up a lot of the remainder of the New Testament, of the Old Testament. But in these words, Jesus is saying, the scriptures that we have, I've come to change nothing and abolish nothing. And we need to remember that in those books, we find clear doctrine about who God is, who we are, the issue of sin and brokenness, and God's intention to restore and draw people back into a relationship with him. We find that there is predictive prophecy about times and events, about people. And in particular, we find a lot of words around the coming of Messiah, what he will look like and what he will do. And in these words of the Old Testament, we find that there are ethical standards that are set out, standards that affect the way we relate to one another in community, standards that affect the way that we run business, the way that we take care of the environment. All of these books of the law and the prophets encapsulate all of life, and Christ says he comes not to change it, not to abolish it, not to annul it, but to fulfill it, to accomplish all that is written in there. And we see in the ministry, in the life of Jesus, many of these prophetic things coming to fruition. And we see that in Jesus' morality and his standards and his attitude towards community and to life and to people in general are a reflection of the words that God has laid out in his word for us to know. We find in verse 18, he says, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. Make no mistake, Jesus says, all that is written down there has a permanency about it. A permanency which is not coming to an end until the heavens and the earth are removed or disappear. Not the smallest part of it can change. Because what God has written, what God has said, what God has revealed to us, there has a permanence about it. And then in verse 9 he says, so if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. There's this balance, a scale that Jesus is saying that the law is important and we need to know it and we need to teach it. Not the law in the legalistic way, but the law in the sense of the way God expects us to live, the way he expects us to be salt and light in the world. In the things we do, the things that we say need to be reflected of the ministry of Jesus. As disciples of Jesus, we are soaked in the ways of Jesus. Time and time again we find Jesus, my disciples obey my words. And in this Jesus is saying, he is being obedient to all that has been revealed in Scripture. He is bringing to accomplishment or fruition much of what's been prophesied. And the way he relates and reacts to people in community is a reflection of God's standards, God's ethics. And that is incumbent upon us to be aware of those and in God's power and his strength to live a life according to him. But then he goes on and has a warning. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is a blunt statement of Jesus, and in many ways would have come as a shock to the first hearers. For the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers of the law, were seen as the very pinnacle of the expression of the Jewish faith. In them was perfection. And Jesus was saying, we need to outstrip this perfection that is seen in the life and the behavior of these men. But we have to remember that what was seen in the Pharisees' life and in the scribes and the teachers of the law invariably was no more than a veneer. They were the law was expressed in a multitude of words and was complex. I'll give you an example. What you were allowed to do on the Sabbath or not allowed to do on the Sabbath. And I guess this goes to the end of the scale for the least important things around observance of law. Writing. You would think you could either write or not write. But no, it was a little bit more convoluted than that. Now, you weren't allowed to write on the Sabbath two letters. You weren't allowed to write if it was permanent. You weren't allowed to write on two separate pages if the words, that when they were brought together, made sense. But wait a moment. You could write on the Sabbath if you wrote in the sand or if you wrote in the dust of the road, if you wrote on a wall or if you wrote with black ink. Even if you wrote in the sand or on two separate walls and the words made sense, it was okay. And on it goes. And it was the same with all the laws. It seems that with the commands, the Pharisees and the scribes over the centuries had made the commandments less and less powerful in terms of you shall not. And the things that you around the they became more permissive in that. And there was a whole reshaping of the law and its intention by the convoluted nature of the way the law had been interpreted and expressed. You could be seen to be being obedient to the law, but Jesus makes it clear here that this is insufficient. There's something deeper, there's something more important than this veneer of the law. God sees into the heart of man and into the heart of women. And God knows the intention of the heart. And the intention of the law is good and right and proper. And Jesus is saying that with the law that he comes to not abolish but to accomplish. And this righteousness that is imputed to us by God is not a law that is full of cans and can'ts and wills and won'ts, but it is a law that goes to the very heart of God's goodness, God's grace, and God's mercy. And the six examples that come through the following part of chapter 5 give us an understanding of exact examples of what Jesus is talking about. Years ago, we had a TV unit. And I kept it in the shed even after we'd stopped using it. It was big, it was great timber. And all those years that I cared for it and looked after it, and then finally I got to the point where I was going to pull it apart and use some of the wood. I pulled it apart oh so carefully, only to find it was just chipboard. I was so disappointed. See, the veneer fooled me into thinking that this wood was real wood. And Jesus is saying, don't let the veneer of the way you live your life before men cover up something that is deeper within you, which is not following God, which is not being a disciple, which is not in accordance with the spirit of God's law, God's truth, which doesn't reflect, doesn't carry the grace, the mercy, and the justice that God would have us do, and the people that God would have us be. So I guess at the beginning of this chapter, My challenge for you is that as you consider these examples that Jesus brings before us over the coming weeks, that you will allow the Spirit of God to pierce into your heart, that your faith, your discipleship is not one of a veneer, but is one of a heart that has been transformed, that is being transformed, that we continue to be salt and light in the world, a reflection of God's grace and mercy in us through our relationship to Him, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Let me pray. Father God, we give you thanks for these words, words that are in some ways a challenge. We know that you are able to help us with this challenge. We know that we cannot be righteous on our own. That is a gift that you have given to us. Help us, Father, to live lives before your throne and not before the hearts and minds and eyes of man. Help us, Father, that we might be true disciples of Jesus, that the law that you have written, the guide and the commands that you have given to us, will be evident in the way that we live, in the way that we speak, and in the way that we act. Challenge us, shape us, encourage us, and continue to transform us after your will. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, for your kingdom's sake. Amen.